All right, so this week is Parshas Ekev. All the questions we're truly looking at are the questions I asked between Mincha Maariv. So you know where we're going with all this, so I'm not going to build things up. Okay, Parshas Ekev, page 980 in this Chumash. V'haya Ekev Tishmun Eisa Mishpatim Eila Lishmartem Asisem Osam. The Archaim asks the questions which you've already heard, but we'll just repeat them in his words. Tzarech L'das Omro V'haya Ma'yeh. What's this word V'haya? What's going to be? If we're talking about the observances that he's going to be talking about, then just say Ekev Tishmaun, whatever is going to happen, then Veshamar Hashem Elokecha L'cha, right? If you when you do it, what's V'haya, and it will be Matzarek B'Tevas V'haya. Otzarek L'Das Amro Ekev Lo Amar In Tishmaun K'derech Amro In B'Chuk Osai. Why are you throwing in a word we haven't really heard before? I mean, maybe we have, but we have heard it before in the Torah, right? Ekev asher shema Avraham b'koli v'yishmor mishpatim mitzvosai. Right, so we have heard it, but not in the context of your doing the mitzvos and it being conditional. We've seen it in b'chukosai. So why a new kind of language? Rav Seinu darshu mitzvot she'adam dash b'ikavav tishmeun. The way that a person, the kinds of mitzvos that a person stamps somehow with his heels. That's what you have to do. So what does that mean? It's just a drash. So I like this. The answer which he gives is even better. He says, "V'yisbar al derech omrom b'midbar rabba peraglam membeis ein v'haya el simcha." I don't know if that's bereishis rabba b'midbar rabba, but he says v'haya is simcha. Okay. So what's Moshe trying to tell us? V'nei adon anavim ba b'noam d'varav l'ha'ir. Right. We have the word v'yehi is lashon kasha. Right. V'yehi b'me'achashverosh. Right, he is negative. V'haya, he says, is a language of joy. So what's he trying to say? B'musar na'im, with a pleasant kind of musar, ki'ein la'adim l'smach el kashi yishmar la'asos, es kol ha'shitzi v'ashem la'asos, az yismach libo v'yagel kvodo. He says, what is Shemiras Mitzvah supposed to do to a person? It's supposed to get a person to be joyous, v'yagel kvodo, and just be glorious in God's glory. If a person is realizing that he's missing a mitzvah, that he hasn't done something, so what's the point of the joy? Is there something missing? Perish Ekev Husof B'Tachlis. That you will have joy, v'haya, and it will be, what will be? Simcha will be, simcha you will have, ekev tishmaun, if you've gotten to the end goal. What's the end goal? Of listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem, or all the chukim. K'derek shematzinu she'ishtam shu, chazav lashon zev lashon mishnah, be'ikvos mashicha. What's be'ikvos mashicha? What does it, ikvos, literally mean? Right, the time, but it's the ikvos. Ekev is a heel, right? So it's in the heels of Mashiach. What does the heels of Mashiach mean? That Mashiach is not yet here, or Mashiach is already here?
On the way.
So he's going to argue, no. Ki b'gemar zman b'yaso yikra ikvos. He says, when he's already come, b'gemar zman b'yaso, we're in the wake of Mashiach. That's what ikvos to Mashiach are. Right, Ekev Tishmun is not, and it will be when you will have joy when you've already done. That's the point. Ekev Tishmun is it's the result of the end goal. The end goal is the fulfillment of mitzvos, and what happens is the result is simcha. Okay, it's a different.
Ikvos to the Mashiach himself is a bad time, right? Chutz b'yaspe, right? Is a bad time.
Well, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying maybe, but he's trying to use the language of ikvos to demonstrate what ekev tishmaun is. Bigmar zman. I mean, am I reading this wrong? Bigmar zman biyaso yikra ikvos. Bigmar, at the conclusion of the time of his coming, that's called ikvos. That's what he's saying. After you've all done that.
Ikvos doesn't mean at that time. Ikvos is the time prior to him coming. So here it's almost it's like.
But he's not saying that. He's saying it's not what it is. Ikvos of the Mashiach. Skip to the second to last line, middle line. Ein achol nesmach mishu asid la'amod bebusha chlim olfin melech hagadol. Who's going to be happy? Somebody who has to stand in embarrassment in front of the Melech HaGadol, and somebody who has to hang his head low in front of the king? So Ekev is Soshmias Kol Mishpatim. In other words, you've laid out your case, and what's your case? Shemati Eisa Mishpatim Ba'ila V'Shamarti Osam. I did everything I was supposed to do, and so where am I now? I'm Simcha because I know that everything is going to come out beautifully. It's very hard. You think that's it? Wait until you get it. Oh my goodness, this is just the beginning.
Because really, you're supposed to do the mitzvahs with simcha, right? So therefore, you start out with simcha and then you do the mitzvahs. Here he's saying, do the mitzvahs, and from doing the mitzvahs, then you get the simcha. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Standing before the Melech, knowing that.
Ain la adam l'smoach, ela yishmor la'asos, is kol shetziva Hashem. That's what he says. Oz yismach libo. He says you get rid. It's like when you finish. I talked this Shabbos about running. Okay, I talked about running. Ever since I participated in the Rabbis Can Run program, so I trained for a half marathon and I've been running. I haven't, you know, my maximum now is like 7-8 miles. Okay, fine, whatever. It's nice. I hate running. I hate it. What do I like about running? When I'm done, say, oh, I did a run. Okay? When I'm finished, like I did something for myself.
That's a good
sample. Okay, you know what I'm saying? That's it. But the process is just so, you know? But afterwards, it's amazing. When you say, look at what I just did for myself. And it's the same thing with mitzvahs, I think. Okay, look at the next one. Od niskavin shitzara shilmar atar b'simcha v'lo b'itzvah kidivrei Torah asurin la'avil.
I say that for every kid, every 12-year-old kid that I'm teaching.
Okay, so
through the whole rigmarole, but
right, right, you're done, right, exactly. So when he says, learn Torah b'simcha and not with sadness, because it's asur in la'avil. Why is an avil not allowed to study Torah? Because p'kudei Hashem yisharim sam chaylev. That's the next comment that he made, which I didn't give you. Okay, next one. The afshar sheremas ba'os hanun. So remember the question that was asked. We asked Chulz, why is it tishmeun? That the nun is a hint to the idea that there are different gates of understanding. Okay, that if a person can achieve the level of humility, I don't know which number level that is, but then a person can actually have the Divrei Torah nichnasim alayim ushmartem perush shaydeas skala b'torah yasig lishmor lasas Torah. Magenu matzalam menachet. It protects him and saves him from sin. Shiyashmira gam mi viali dekiyum gam mi viali dekiyum amitzvah shu amase. And I would argue that this is probably one of the hardest things. It comes, you know, when we study and when we learn, you know, we say, oh, that's very nice. But the point that he's trying that he's making here is that. Is that the greatest level that allows a person to listen to the Torah and apply it to their life is anivus. It's anivus. When a person says, you know what, I can learn from that. You know what, I can improve myself in that. But that only comes from a place of anivus. It only comes from a place of humility. When somebody says, oh, you know, I know this already. That's not anivus. And so a person says, you know, the person doesn't take it to the next step. I it's amazing. I've been reading the biography of Rav Steinman, and this is his whole life. It's just anivus from the beginning until the end. And there's no doubt in my mind that the way he was able to achieve whatever he achieved was because he was. Can you know that first of all he didn't want to go to America because he was afraid that people would honor him. Okay, but then he said, you know what? But I could be mechazik people. So if I could be mechazik people, I'll go.
He couldn't go to America until he was over 90.
Right, till he was over 90. Right. And he went. He traveled around the world, and each place he said, "We're not going to be mafarsim my visit until the day before, because
He was in Muncie.
I don't want it to get to my head. That was the thing.
He was at some big beer in Muncie who spoke Yiddish, and every 2 seconds he's saying, "Can I get the Rosh Hashiva anything? Can I get the Rosh Hashiva anything? Can I get the Rosh Hashiva anything?" And finally said, "You know what you can get me? Get me a chair without a back."
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it's unbelievable. Okay, exactly. Too much olamazeh. Exactly, and that's the whole book. It's the whole book of stories like that. Okay. Oh, Yisbar al zeh der aderech l'fi shavtachas Avram matzinu sha'amar lo shnei avtachos Hashem gave two promises to Avram. So you see the Aleph right there. Lohotziyam Mitzrayim v'yibyem el Eretz Kanan. Achrichen yitzu b'rechush kadov dor v'yishuvu heina. One is that they're going to come out of Egypt and everything that comes with that, getting the land and the fourth generation with a lot of wealth and property. Beis laseis lo min har Mitzrayim adan har paras v'asar umos. The other promise was to give him the land from the Nile to the Euphrates and all the nations in between. Moshe, how many times did Moshe tell the Jewish people, the Bnei Israel, you're not getting this because you guys are so righteous and so worthy, you're getting it because Hashem loved Abraham. Okay, so even though they weren't necessarily worthy, but nevertheless they're getting it. And so Hashem fulfilled the first promise and gave them what they needed, enough. But it was maspik, it was enough, but it wasn't as much as they would have needed. For example, Shari Bnei Yosef, and the Bnei Yosef are saying, well, we don't have enough. That's fascinating, because if you look at the territory of every Shevet, Bnei Yosef, between Menashe on one side, Menashe on the other side, plus Ephraim, Bnei Yosef have the most of all. But that's the pshat is Shari Adayin Lo Yigia Li Adam Avtachas Min Hamitzrayim Adon Har Paras V'Asar Umos Zarah Moshe Eikin Yishmon. So in other words, the second promise to get that full Eretz, what we call Eretz Yisrael Ashlema, was not coming to them, and that's why Moshe says Eikin Tishmon Mishamar Sabris Perish L'Seis Min Hamitzrayim Adon Har Umos B'Shlemus Eikin Tishmon. When you reach that again, that end goal, what's the end goal? The end goal is that you're really keeping all the mitzvahs. If you're keeping all the mitzvahs, then all these promises will come through. So, you know, we look at, just as an example, and I'm not going to get all political here, but when you look at what the Balfour Declaration promised for the homeland of the Jewish people at the time, in 1917, so it was modern-day Israel, and modern-day Transjordan. That was what they had in mind as a homeland for the Jewish people. The Arab countries didn't exist yet. And that's more close to what Minahar, well, not, it's not Minahar Mitzrayim, but certainly at Nahar Paras is much closer to that than what Israel is today. So we can certainly say Egypt Tishma'un hasn't come to fulfillment, and so as much simcha as we want to have, we don't have full simcha even today, with the modern state of Israel, as wonderful as it is. Okay, the promise which is given is Baruch Tiyah Mikol Amim Lo Yevecha Akarav Akarav Yivim Techa. So you'll be blessed of all the nations, again, on account of listening to the mitzvahs, Hashem loves you, etc. So, but there will not be anybody who is infertile amongst your men and women. Perish Lo Tiyah Uma Gedola Mehem. So one promise of Baruch Tiyah that you'll be blessed of all the nations is that there won't be a nation bigger than you. Now, I'm not really sure how that happens, because how many times do we have that promise in the Torah? Lo miru b'chem, mikol ha'amim, right? It's not because you're greater in numbers than everybody else. So I'm not sure where he's going with that. But anyway, O yirtzal zaderech, baruch tia ma'ayi abracha, that the blessing that you will have is that nobody will be infertile. V'yom ro, lo ya v'cha, akar v'akarov v'mtecha. So b'cha, perish lo yimtza adam akar mi'atzmo. You're not going to find a person who is infertile on his own, whatever that means. Right. So in other words, it's not going to be somebody, there isn't going to be anybody who is infertile naturally. Okay? Something could happen, a person has a choli, so then Hashem will have to remove the choli, the illness. And when that choli is removed, then you'll see the fulfillment of the bracha. So, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean? There's a guarantee of non-infertility. You look at today, for example, and you say, you know, lo aleinu, and unfortunately, there's a terrible amount of infertility. So what do we say? Well, obviously, we're not in the Ekev Zman of Simcha after everybody has done that. I mean, I think that's
hard, because there were a lot of, unfortunately, there were a lot of Gedolim, a lot of Rashi Yeshivos and all that
It's not just Rashi Yeshiva. He's saying it's not on an individual level.
Nope.
Right?
I know it's
Baruch Tiyah Mikol Ha'amim Lo Yevecha Akar V'Akarov V'Mtecha. But it's Talui. It's dependent on Ekev Tishmeun Esa Mishpatim Ma'ela. So what does that mean? I mean, I'm not going to be the one who's going to say, oh, you know, Yenim, your story is because of, you know, this. Playing God is not something I like to do. I have no idea. But the Torah gives Moshe, tells him this specific thing. You know, why don't you just say, nobody's going to be sick. Right? Right? You know, if that's what it's going to be. But obviously, Moshe uses this very specific kind of example. And it's just frightening to consider how real of a problem it is, you know, and probably even more so today than it may have been in the past. I have no idea. I don't know. Statistics, I don't know. Okay, we move on. Perek Ches. So it's page 982. So all the mitzvahs, or I mean mitzvah is in the singular that I'm going to be commanding you to do. Tishmirun la'asos. Okay. Tzarech l'das ma mitzvah yizos, the Aruch Chaim says. What's the mitzvah you're talking about? The halo kvar amar ekev tishmirun shmartem asisem umama kom lachzor lomar kol mitzvah. But if you already said it in the beginning of the parasha. So Moshe was very wise in terms of the way the heart of people functions. He wanted to give one message that applies to all. And that there's a sulam is a ladder, right? To l'hamit. I don't want to say to minimize. That's not the right word, but to maybe to concise it, the service of Hashem. So what does that mean? And if a person does mitzvahs of Hashem, two or three of them, whatever comes to him, even if the person takes a mitzvah and just really owns it, right? Alacrity and consistency. Yulad behem, right? Then what happens is the person gets so gung-ho about that one mitzvah that what happens to the other mitzvahs? They fall aside. And it's a problem. And you know, we could probably all think, whether it's in ourselves or somebody else, like, oh, my mitzvah is chesed. Shkayach, you never daven. right? Shkayach, what about the Lima Torah? You know, I mean, whatever, fill in your blank. Oh, no, I'm gung-ho, Tfillin's my thing. Okay, Shabbos, what about Shabbos? Okay. Umag gam im yihiyu biyadam kama mitzvah, shetmalei nafsham mitzvah mitzvahs. Or what if they just, you know, they have a satisfaction in doing a few mitzvahs? Right, so some people they denigrate like easy mitzvahs. What do I need to do that one for? I'm a limit Torah. I don't do so much. He's saying this is the downfall of our experience. That a person just says, you know what, I can limit myself to the few mitzvahs. What does the Navi Hashem do in his little rebuke here? He says, every single mitzvah. He says, every mitzvah is the mitzvah. There's no such thing as a light mitzvah, a mitzvah that you can ignore, a mitzvah that you don't do, a mitzvah that's not important, a mitzvah that every single mitzvah. He says, what happens as a result? You live, and you multiply, and then you come, and you inherit the land for doing every mitzvah. This guy, I think I once wrote a... There's a pasuk somewhere else in the Torah. Somebody does, it's probably in Vayikra somewhere, somebody, because it's talking about a karbonos, where somebody does a mistake. Asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo se'asena.
Asher nasi? Is it asher nasi
yachata? Could be, I don't remember. But he does, asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo se'asena. So one of the commentaries says there, what is it? Asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem. So, I mean, you know, pshat is that it's saying that he does a lo se'asena. Right, but I saw one of the commentaries. Maybe it's a little bit homiletic, but he's saying who does one mitzvah, and that's the sin. Then he says, "I have my mitzvah. That's it. Nothing else important." And it's a similar kind of idea that he seems to be raising here. That if a person just focuses in one area and says, "Ah, oh, that's my thing," shkayach, That's it. That's not it. And look at the imagery which he gives here. So we have a Kabbalah that there are 248 limbs and 365 veins, or however you translate Evarim and Gidim, and that's how many positive and negative mitzvahs there are in the Torah. And that goes back to the question of how many mitzvahs there are in the Torah, and we have this magic number 613, how you divide it up, even though every single Sefer mitzvos divides up the mitzvahs in different ways, but somehow they all manage to get back to the same magic number of 248 and 365. I love that. See how he writes it? Okay? So he says, can you imagine a person who is totally healthy, and then all of a sudden, one of his evarim or one of his gidim has an illness, and he's in pain from that. Haim yekabel ma'ana letzako be'amor lo halach lach ramach evarim umehem reishmem zayin shlemim. Right, if somebody says to him, you know what? Yeah, halolacha. Sorry, halolacha ramach. You've got 248, but 247 are fine. So what are you complaining about? Okay, person's going to say, hey, listen, there are only men in this room. We all know if a man, has a cold. Has a head cold, it's worse than a woman giving birth, right? We know, that's the way we are, right? It's like, oh my goodness, I can't move, I can't function. Okay, that's a joke, but some people make fun of us that way. But the point being that tell somebody, oh no, so, just your sinus is bothering you, but you're fine. No, I'm not, like, I can't function because of one thing. Oh, I see a broken arm, what's the big deal? Everything else is okay. I have a broken arm, what's wrong, So he says, "Ain't right. Look, balze. V'zed dimyon shmiras mitzvahs. Shem yuchadim kenegad evarim v'gidim. K'shadam over muvatel achas mehena yafil alkei b'shenegdo evarim v'gidim." He says, if a person is missing out on a mitzvah, or the person davka ignores that mitzvah, or denigrates the mitzvah, he says that's like it's the same thing as the brios or k'shem shein shuvas brios reishmim zayin moelis. Say. What are you complaining about? The one thing that's injured. 247 are fine. So what are you complaining about? That doesn't get rid of the lahavir haregish hergesh keiv haever, right? It doesn't get rid of the person's injury in the way that the person's feeling. Tashlum reish mem ches. Okay, lo yesh limu reish mem zayin mitzvah zaseh lechesron ha'echad. Tashlum reish mem ches. If you're missing a mitzvah, same thing. There's something just missing in your totality. It's the same thing regarding, violating one of the 365 negative mitzvahs. Okay, now what he does here is the part which I did in italics, and I'm not going to do it, but you can read it on your own, is he reverses the mashal. Right? He says, what happens, if a person... it's a very nice example, but you can't compare the body to mitzvahs. So yeah, my body doesn't feel well, but if I'm missing a mitzvah, what's the big deal, right? So he explains that. I don't want to go into it because I wanted to move on and cover other things. But I thought it's an interesting question. But he does have an answer to that particular question. Okay. The next thing is two psukim later. As I mentioned this as well. So the language which is used that Moshe is describing, the way that the people traveled, and therefore the way that Hashem fed them. In other words, if you just have to say that Hashem provided food for the Bnei Israel in the desert, so fine. So why are you talking about v'yancha? What suffering? What suffering? Haman. Yagid, Shachila Saman Haisal Tzara Revon. It's denigrating to the man that it came only because the people were hungry. V'ze'eno, and that's not even the case. The Torah is very positive towards the man. It praises the man. V'haman, Kzera Gadhu, right? What it tastes like. Ketzapi Chis B'Dvash. V'am Rabba Seyem Shkal Kasa B'Shivcho. Midaber, gamu mazon hamalachim, kamur lechem avirim lechalish. Right, the fact that it's the food of angels, the fact that it's the kind of bread that just disappears in your body. There's no waste. Okay, v'nirah shegam kein shevach haman yagid ki amachalim yeshna be'isugim. And he says, and there are two kinds of food. Yesh machal sheshav elachol ben bari ben chol letzadios and akim yaipush. Right, one kind of food is totally healthy. whether you're a healthy person, whether you're a sick person, it doesn't spoil. Everything just gets absorbed in the body in a way that doesn't it's not damaging in any which way, and it's easy to digest and it's healthy for the person. But there are kinds of foods as well which are only good for people who are healthy, but sick individuals should not be eating them because it will be damaging to them. That you suffered and you were hungry and then God fed you. Perish v'yancha inui haderech. That what's the inui? It's not starvation. It's the difficulty of traveling. V'yarivecha inui cheseron amazon. That's the idea of not having food, that you became hungry. V'nei yaduahu shamisaneh baderech yevsu kochosav koach hamevashel v'koach ha'ikul. So he says that somebody who fasts while they're traveling, that is really, really not a good situation for them. And I guess their palate changes. So when a person eats something that's difficult to swallow or to digest, it could be very harmful to him. Also, when a person's hungry and the person eats trying to fill their stomach, then they can get very sick. Right? The best thing to do, for example, after a fast, is to not have a huge dinner. Have a few bites, and then in the morning you'll rework up your appetite. But if you have a full dinner after a day of not eating, it could be really bad. A person can get, I mean, I don't know how sick they'll get, but they'll certainly feel not great. Right? What I just said, that when you're fasting, you can't eat all that you think that you want. He says that there was the thing about the man was that it was perfect. It was a perfect food. It's a perfect food for anybody at any time, whether sick or not sick, healthy, right? Healthy. It was just a perfect kind of food. So is the Torah in saying, so in other words, let's just go back to his original question. Was the man given on account of hunger, or is that not the way that the Torah is really presenting it? The Torah is talking about inui haderech. The Torah is talking about ra'avon, which comes from chisaron hamazon, but it doesn't from the lack of food. But it doesn't seem to be implying that the man came to fill that those two particular voids in their experience. The man was there for all the good reasons in the world. It wasn't, oh, you're hungry, so here's man. It's, I'm giving you a perfect food for no matter what your situation is. And I think that this is a great example. And I actually have another example, which I'll just tell you about. It's not in our class tonight, but not in the source material, but I will tell it to you about how you know that God cares. Okay, it's a great trivia question. How do you know there was a river at Har Sinai? It's Pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Okay.
There's a river at Har Sinai?
Yeah.
There's fire there. I don't know.
No.
This is like a moat.
No, a river.
A river?
Yeah. Look on page 988 or Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Okay. Va'ashlech es afaro after I.
Where was it?
Chaf Aleph. Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Okay. After I broke up the ego, last few words of the pasuk va'ashlich es afaro el hanachal ayored minahar. Okay, so it's not even a trick question. Okay, it's a state pasuk in Chumash. How do you know there's a river at Har Sinai or on Har Sinai? Because the Torah tells you. All right, so just the same the mun and this river. You say, Hashem brings you into this, midbar, agadol, anak, right, nachash, akrav, tzimaon, asherin, mayim. He knows you're going to be at this mountain for weeks, months. They were there almost a year, right? Where are you going to get the water? How are you going to survive if this river is in the middle of?
They didn't complain about water. I guess because the water was there.
Why? Because God took care of them.
Of course.
And that's what the man is, and that's what the river is. So it's you know, it's an important reminder that, you know, the complaining, I'm not going to judge the people for complaining about the water, but to think that God wasn't going to take care of them when he took them out into the desert is just, guys, like, look at the big picture here. You know, again, it's very easy with the 2020 hindsight that we have and the text of the Chumash that we have to say, oh, how could anybody complain?
So I understand. But, so I don't understand the words then. But yeah, that means, and he afflicted you, and he starved you, he made you hungry.
No. So that's, I think that's his point. His point is that Vayanecha Vayarivecha is your perspective about what he did to you. And Vayachilcha, you think that he gave you the man because you were hungry. No, he gave you the man because he was going to be giving you the man anyway. He gave you a perfect food, knowing that there's different kinds of food. There's a kind of food that you're going to, because you're hungry, you're going to eat and stuff yourself and bloat and get sick. But he gives you man, saying you can take whatever amount and you'll be fine. So it's showing a different perspective on caring. That's what I'm taking from it. And that, you know, that leads kind of in a way to the next comment, which we're going to look at, which is the Vizacharta es Hashem, right? And this is was it Avram Fried made a song about this pasuk? Perush. So what happens is, you know, you're going to come into the land. Right. I mean, by the way, that the pasuk I just mentioned is right here. Pasuk Tezvav. What's going to happen? You're going to forget Hashem who took you out of Egypt. I'm back on page 994. Perchas Pasuk Tezvav, who took you out of Egypt. And who walked you through Hamalukha Bamibara Gadova and Ara Nachash Saraf Yakrav Itzimahona Sharin Maim Hamotsilukhamaim Yitzura Khalamish. And who's this God who walked you through this desert where, by all rights and by every argument, you know, many of you should have died from these methods. Nachash, Saraf, Akrav, Tzimaon. But God didn't let that happen. What happened? Hamachil Chaman Bamidbar Shalom Yodun Avasecha Laman Anosecha Laman Asosecha Leitivcha Be'achrisecha. There you have it again, right? God did it to test you, right? To make you suffer a little bit, but to in the end, really, it is for you to grow. So, anybody ever read Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon,
yeah,
the
sure.
comic? So, what does Calvin's dad say every time Calvin comes complaining to him? What does his father say to him? Whatever it is that you're doing, it builds character. Calvin's like, I don't want to build character anymore. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, you have to build character.
He's a genius,
okay. V'amarta bilvavecha. So you're going to say in your heart, see, now that I survived this desert, guess what? I did it. So Moshe says, no. God is the one who gives you the strength. He gave you the strength to make through it in order to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's such an important perspective that we just so easily forget that everything comes from God. Every success we have is because God allowed it to be successful.
It's hard to understand. Here they were going through the war, and they can't see. They're complaining the fact that God is not with them. I mean, God was around, but they did everything. So even then, they weren't able to recognize this.
So again, it's easy for us with 2020 hindsight to say, you know, hey guys, how are you missing what we see so clearly? So if you take the story as stories of real people, and there's so many indicators in the Torah that these are real people, that these are real people, you know, that they're real people, and that the struggles that they have are real human struggles. You know, you look at the daughters of Tzlafchad, there's real life concerns. You look at the story where Miriam dies, and the people are fishmatted. They don't know what to do. Miriam has died. And instead of giving Nicham Avelim to Moshe and Aaron, they're saying, water, and they're not even thinking, like, let's think this through, guys. And I once heard a shir given by Rabbi Bravender on Wayu Torah, where he talks about Miriam, and he says, and he asks a very, it's just such a simple question, but he says, if the well hadn't been in the merit of Miriam, right, because that's the way we assume, right? Miriam died, the well disappeared. So if the well hadn't been in the merit of Miriam, Do you think they would have gone through the desert without water?
It would have been somebody else.
So, they would have had water. That was his point. So you know, like, why are you guys taking that perspective and that viewpoint? And, you know, it's like you're saying, it's so clear. It wasn't so clear to them. I don't know how, but it wasn't so clear. You know, you stand at Hasina, you say Na'aseh v'nishma, and then you do the golden calf. I mean, how do you do that? I don't follow that logic either. So again, Perush Tzarich L'Seis L'Bal Tavasok Mi Hashem Oyselo. Hashem has to put one's heart to Hashem's to the goodness that He does. That everything comes from God. And a person needs to be awakened to this idea all the time to recognize his Creator and to see that God is watching over. He says, what's the Yetzer trying to do? It's trying to make you forget and say, no, you did it all. And this is going to just destroy a person. It's going to make a person get lost. He says, remember, we're going to see the next pasuk, in pasuk Yitess rather, that, yeah, it's the next pasuk, that if you forget, there's that double language. So there are two double languages in that pasuk. Im shachach tishkach es Hashem elkecha, and you go after other gods, etc. Ha'idosi v'chem ayom ki avot tovidun. So he says, maybe that's what it is. Shachach tishkach is just such a deeper level of forgetting. Im shachach davarzeh, if you forget this thing, that Hashem is the one who does good to you, sofacha shetishkach es Hashem. If you forget that God was good to you, you're going to forget God entirely. And what's going to happen as a result? Then you're going to go follow other gods. It's not just that in your mind you're going to forget God. You're going to go towards other things that you're going to attribute because you could see them. You can say, oh, obviously this is what helped me out. Right? I'm going to worship the mill. I'm going to worship the water that makes my mill run because that's what's doing it. You're going to bow down to them. Bowing down, that is a clear cut observance of idolatry. No matter how you're going to, no matter what the idolatry is, if you bow down to Marcolis, even though that's not the way you serve Marcolis, but bowing down to Marcolis is still avodah zarah. So it's just v'zecharta. The refuel of Ne'amaka. You have to remember Hashem, and as long as you remember Hashem, then guess what won't happen? Shachach teshkach. Then you won't violate forgetting God. So it's a refuel of Ne'amaka. Remember God. Remember God. Remember God. Remember God. Remember Him. Remember. Remember Him. Remember. Because if you forget, avot tovidun. Okay?
My take from this is the fact that if there, where they have the miracles right in front of them, and they're seeing it, and they still have the doubts, and still have all of these questions, they still don't do what seems so obvious, so what about us, who are so far away from that,
we have to double down and triple down and quadruple down and quadruple down, whatever.
The door of Yotzi Mitzrayim couldn't go into the land. The door of Yotzi Mitzrayim wasn't. They had a slave mentality.
Okay.
They weren't worthy of being given food. They had the food.
So let's look at the next one just to follow up that thought of Avot Tovidun. Circle down. Lama kafa lomar Avot Tovidun. Why again do you have this double language? Od lama utzrach ledamos lomar kagoyim. And look at the rest. Look at the next pasuk chaf. You're going to be lost. Kagoyim asher Hashem avid b'pnechem king Tovidun. Just like the nations that Hashem will make get lost from in front of you, you will be lost as well. Ekev lo tishmaun bekol Hashem lokechem. So that's like a nice bookend, by the way, to the beginning of the parsha. Eikev Tishmon, here's Eikev Lo Tishmon. So Eikev Tishmon, then everything's going to be good. What?
It's without the Bahoya.
Yeah, okay, well, that won't be B'simcha, I suppose, right? Okay, so he says, so why is it comparing it to the Goyim, to the nations? We already said, Avot Tovidun, that's not enough, double language, you have to say Kain Tovidun. So let's understand. Okay? And that, he says, that why was Yerushalayim destroyed? Because people were mevatel the Divrei Torah. The studying of Torah had been nullified, had been canceled, had been blocked off from people. And he says that's the reason for the destruction of the base Hamikdash. Agam shahayu ovdei avodah zarah. Okay? Yeah, but weren't they idolaters? Im hayu lomdim Torah, lo yisei nechrebes. Had, yeah, you know what? They're idolaters. Okay. Had they only been learning Torah while they were doing idolatry, the base of Mikdash would not have been destroyed. As they said, said, yeah, we have Avodah Zarah, we better up our game in the Torah study to protect us from being destroyed. So he says, you know, what is Avot Tovi doing? It's a double language. So I'm going to ask you before, see if we can be mechaving to what the Aruch Chaim is saying. What does Aleph Beis Dalet mean? Give me one meaning of the word Aleph Beis Dalet.
Loss.
Give me another meaning of Avot Tovi doing.
Destroyed.
Ah, so he says it's both. That's the point. Perish Betchila Aveda Achas. Okay? That one is being lost. Oh, wow. He says, what does it mean that you'll be lost? What, the Goyim are lost? The Goyim are around. They're all around. So what do you mean they're lost? He says, what they don't have is Torah the way we have the Torah. So the Goyim, the nations, maybe they study the Bible and they can quote chapter and verse, and in some cases they can quote chapter and verse better than we can quote chapter and verse. But guess what they don't have? They don't have Rashi, they don't have the Gemara, they don't have Ma'amarei Chazal, they don't have Torah the way we have the Torah, they have King James, and that's it. So what do they have? What do they have? They have a base pshat, which they don't even understand, because it's translations, they don't even understand it. Kein tovidun ze avidas atzmon. You're lost, basically it's an internal destruction. Like, you might exist, but you're not going to be Jews who have a Torah anymore. He said, "Tevas kagoyim nimshachas d'mal lemar d'mion avedas yekagoyim nimshachas d'matel d'mion avedas kagoyim atzmam in aretz." So there's one where you're just going to be lost in the sense that you don't have the Torah, and the other one is, you know, abandoned from the land. So you'll be lost in two different kinds of ways. Ve'omro ekev perish kevon she'ein Torah hamartesh im yeshlam Torah gam shi over the zara Torah tamod lahem. And even if they're over the zara, then as long as they have the Torah, they can survive. They can last. They won't be lost. But he says, once they don't have Torah, it's all gone. The voice of God is the Torah. I remember when I was in high school, we had a Musar Shmuz, which I recorded, so that's why I remember it, because I listened to it a bunch of times. It was Rav Aaron Kahn, and he gave an example of how a Jew without Torah basically ceases to be a Jew with Torah values. And he gave an example of these two guys who were in some Russian mafia, and they had Jewish parents. And he said the experiment happened in Russia. Experiment happened in Russia where Torah was closed off to the Jews. And so what happened to them? Avot tovidun kagoyim, right? Now, obviously there were many who not, thank God, and Baruch Hashem for many Jews from the former Soviet Union who are wonderful Jews today. But that example that Rav Kahn gave at the time, it was two brothers who were murdered. And I remember him saying, a Jew should kill? How could a Jew kill? And the answer is, they didn't have the Torah. And so those values were lost. And so you could be, I mean, listen, you know, in the 1930s and 40s, you know what was a very big Jewish profession in Manhattan and in Brooklyn and in the Bronx? There were many Jewish gangsters. Okay? There are books about the Jewish gangsters. Bugsy Siegel, you know, those kinds of guys, 30s and 40s. You know who was hired to watch the docks during the 40s to protect it from Nazi infiltration? The Jewish gangsters. Okay? So at least there they served their country, right? Because these guys really had a hold on it. But some of the stories of Jewish gangsters, yeah, I mean, you cannot believe. There was one Jewish gangster who wouldn't kill on Shabbos. That was his thing. Okay, it's true. It's true. I forget which one it was. That was his thing. But, I mean, serious Jewish gangsters? How could they have Jewish gangsters? The answer is, you know, anyway, crazy stuff. You know who really busted them up? And this is, he later became a candidate for president. Who was the guy who they said defeated Truman?
Oh.
Dewey. Dewey. Dewey was a DA in New York, I think, at that time. And he really did a job on the on the gangsters during that time period. I have a book at home, Tough Jews. Really incredible stuff. Okay, anyway. Okay, so just to the question of Moshe carrying the luchos and then grabbing the luchos. So that's at the top of page 4. He says, Moshe had to grab them, they were in his hand. But Ulai says, maybe, you know, and we have this image. You know, we know, what's the image of like when Rabbi Chanina ben Tridim is being burned with his Torah? What does he say? That the Torah is being burned, but Osios Porchos Ba'avir. What's the image of the luchos that we have, the way it's carved out? Some of the letters are there, like, you know, things are hanging in the air. He says, maybe that's what it was. Ulai kishelo chato Yisrael hayu haluchos gevohos al yad Moshe v'loisi yadom asegas lachachas osam. That Moshe was just, you know, pretending to carry them. The luchos carried themselves. Moshe digdek lamar pasuk shelof neze ushnei luchos al shtei yadai v'lo amar b'shtei yadai b'yadi. Says they're on, meaning above, but they're not actually in my hand. They carried themselves, they were above his hand. But I'm not sure if it's Moshe or the Luchos, which saw probably Moshe. Husar koch kedusha sam, the strength of their kedusha was removed. And they were unable to float anymore. And Moshe had to grab them. So basically to save them from falling, I guess. And then he ended up throwing them. Okay, so I thought that was just a nice little intro. Okay, so now we can take a vote. We can take a vote. We have two more things, but we only have time for one. So we're going to do one of them. Do you want to do V'atah Yisrael Ma'ashem Alkecha Shoel Meimach, which is, you know, an important theme of Perek Yud. Perek Yud, Psukim 9 and 10, I think it is. No, 12 and 13. Okay, V'atah Yisrael Ma'ashem Alkecha Shoel Meimach Ki'im L'yiras Hashem Alkecha L'leches B'chol D'rochav L'lav Oso. Now, what does Hashem ask of you? To fear Him, go in His ways, love Him, serve Him with all your heart and soul. L'shmor es mitzvos Hashem, to observe the mitzvos and the chukim, asher anochim tzavcha hayom, l'tov lach, which is good for you. Okay, that's an important theme that's in the Torah, which is in Parshas Ekev. And then the other one is the end of the Parsha, after the paragraph of V'hayom Shema, which is the second paragraph of the Shema. We have at Shvi'i, on page 996, Kiyim Shamor Tishmarun, it's called Mitzvah Azos, Hashem Rachim Mitzvah Eschem, Asusam, the Ava, Hashem Lokechem, Lelechas Bechol Drachah, Vodavkabo, that if you do keep and observe the mitzvahs that Hashem has commanded you, and you love Him, etc., then Hashem is going to, you know, chase away all the nations, and wherever you walk is going to be yours in the land, Min HaNahar, Nahar Paras, Arayam Acharon, Yegvulchem, from the Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River, until the Yam HaAcharon, which I'm assuming is the Mediterranean. But anyway, nobody's going to stand in your way. So you want to take a vote? The first one or the second one?
Well, the second one has a double lashon.
You want
to? About that, to see if there's any difference. Double lashon.
So you want to look at Shamor Tishmarun? Is that okay? I mean, you can take this home if you want to do the other one on your own. Okay?
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Like
okay?
That.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Kim Shamor Tishmarun. Pasuk Beis. Tzarech L'das, Lama Kafal Lomar Shamor Tishmarun. Bingo. Right? He asked the same question. Why double language? Od Ma Shmira Hizos. What's the Shmira that we're talking about? Ulai Shi Chavein L'Azir Al Shmira HaMitzvot Shisiv HaShem Asos Mishmeres L'Mishmarto. So Hashem's talking about the observance of the commandments, which are a guard for His guard. Kansi V'Yisrael Osa Shmira Shishmurosa. Umro shamor shiashmira shiasur avoseinu zal tishmirun perish tishmirun osa. So the shmira is that which the rabbis do. You have to keep what they're saying. Is that what it's saying? Odir tzal zal derech im shamor perish im tasu shmira l'mitzvos. So in other words, make a safeguard for the mitzvos. And tiyu betuchim shetishmirun is called mitzvos. So the idea of taking on the mitzvos as a guard, right? It's like the Chabad has their army of, you know, for children. You know, they call them the Tzivos Hashem, right? What's the Tzivos Hashem? That, you know, we are the army of God. If that's the case, and we take on this shmirah, we're the watch guards, then we are promised that we will actually keep the mitzvos. Ava below mishmeres tiyunich shalom b'chelok mitzvos. Right, it's a similar thing to what we saw before about somebody who takes on one mitzvah or a couple of mitzvahs which a person likes, but doesn't take the whole package. He says, you have to have a shmirah, you have to have a safeguard over the whole package so that you don't become nichshal, you don't possibly fall back on some of the mitzvahs. Kigom mitzvah Shabbos. Im lo yosifu michol al kodesh, yesh lachush yu nichshalim begufo shel Shabbos. If we don't start Shabbos a little earlier, then, you know, the kachut ha-saira, right, the exact moment when Shabbos starts, then there's a very good chance that we will violate Shabbos. We'll violate Shabbos. Okay, and even, you know, even with people having that window, I'm sure people are not always perfect about it. And so at least, thank God, we have that window so that if there's a little less perfection in the, you know, in Yerushalayim, they wait 40 minutes beforehand. 40 minutes before Shabbos. So outside of Yerushalayim, it's 18 minutes, whatever, something along those lines. But even, you know, is everybody so perfect about the 18 minutes every single time? I would venture to say, no. Probably not. And that's why you need that shmirah. Od yirtzal tzavos al mitzvah shiyun nishmarim ben mimenu, ben mehazolas, v'kavar mezeh, shalo yomar adam, daili mishmor satzmi, leval avor alachas mea mitzvos, ben alai lehatzer, albitol al mitzvos mehazolas. He says, a person should not say, you know, if I, as long as I protect myself so that I don't violate, and I don't have to worry about anybody else. Zeba Mamar Hashem Shamor Atem Tishmirun. Okay, look at the language of the pasuk. Shamor, that's a singular. Tishmirun, that's the plural. That's the collective. Es mitzvos perush leval yisbatlu miazolus. That we need to safeguard it for one another. Ubenoam devarim elu nasan tam shechiv Hashem Yisrael ba'aribus. And so Hashem in a pleasant way. Is giving us a reason that Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael in Arevus, right? It's on the one hand, it's partnership, but it's also a responsibility. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. So we're the co-signers for one another, that we need to take the responsibility for one another. Ki klalos achiyuv hi al mitzvos, shelo tisbatel be'olam me'ish Yisrael. That we need to make sure that we all know what the mitzvos are. Ozeh kol shem isbatelis, harinase pshia Bnos Batenu. Anything which ends up getting lost, that is a negligence in the building of our house. What house? Beis Yisrael. Ki haTorah lanu nitna morasha, al tikri morasha ela meorasa. And the Torah is given to us as a, what's a morasha? Other than a camp. It is a heritage. But it's not just that we're given a morasha, it's morasa, that there is an engagement. There's a deeper connection. And a person needs to watch over the betrothal to make sure that it doesn't get lost to somebody else. We need to be very careful to make sure that we're not going into any kinds of activities that the Torah does not want. So it's a little hard, right? It says that we need to rule by the stick to prevent people from doing the wrong thing. That people also need to find a pleasant and a loving way to turn hearts to the straight path. V'omro la'asosa li'ava, la'asosa li'ava l'leches b'chadurchav l'davkava. Most of the language that you have here is doing mitzvos with with love. And doing mitzvah with love is, yes, maybe there's a concept of mitzvahim l'rados makel, that to strike, you know, to be a little bit of an enforcer with a stick. He says, but that is not always effective. And maybe there's a better way, and the better way is the ni'imus, right, the pleasantness. Perish ma'amal asos al derech umram, na'ya doresh v'na'ya mekayim. And if it's done nicely, if it's preached nicely, and it's fulfilled nicely, then it would speak to people much more than if there is coercion. Coercion is not always a good tool, and unfortunately, that is something which is seen a lot today. I actually recently got a phone call from somebody expecting a baby, and they told me, we are married civilly, but not al pi halacha. Okay, and they're Israeli. Yeah. Okay, so not al pi halacha. So I didn't ask why not al pi halacha. They wanted to know if the baby was a mamzer. I said the baby's not a mamzer because they're in the eyes of halacha, they're both single. So you know, so the baby's not a mamzer, and the baby you know gets a full bris. A mamzer also gets a bris, but the baby gets a bris.
Did you ask whether they're both Jewish?
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, but the point is that you know if. Trying to tell them that I mean, I told them. I said, you know, in the eyes of God, there's a, you know, that's your concern. That's what I said. I didn't want to say you're living in sin. In the eyes of God, that's you know, that's your concern. But as far as the baby goes, the baby will be a Jewish baby, needs a bris. So, but that it has to be noa doresh v'noa mekayim. If people are spoken to in a nice way, there's a better chance that they'll come to. I mean, I once had a different crazy story. I had this couple call me up, and they called me to do their son's bris. And then a year and a half later, they called me and they said, "You also do weddings?" And I said, "Sure. Who's getting married?" "We are." "What?" I said, "Well, we figured since we're living together, we already had a kid together. You know, we may as well just raise them the right way, and so we're going to do a kedas v'chadin." I'm like, "All right, I'm your man, I guess." I mean, I had no idea when I did their son's bris that they were not married. They had both been divorced from other people. They had their gittin and all their pages were in order, except that I forgot to ask for the ksuba because I never ask for a ksuba when I do a bris. But anyway, yep. Okay. Anyway, kol isha yesh bo yirshmayim devarav nishmayim. So somebody who's God fearing. Can have an influence. Somebody wants to preach anything, has to be, you know, he can't be a hypocrite. Can't say, "Ah, this is the way to do things," but the person's not doing himself. Right? There's some people, I mean, I gave Rav Steinman as an example. Okay? Just, you know, if you met him, you saw anibus, you saw somebody who had just God in his heart. And how could you not say, you know what, this person is somebody who I can actually listen to. Vuomro la'ava perish Paul yotze l'sheni shafil pulas ava so yisparach b'libos b'nei adam. A person just needs to flow. It needs to be something that can come from, you know, from the inspirer to the inspired, and that it should turn on hearts. V'al yishalchu yad b'toras Hashem. So people shouldn't throw in the towel on the Torah. Vuomro l'lachas b'chod rachav. Kalab Mamar called Rachav Lamar, right, to go in all God's ways. Afil Dvarim She'ena Bebusag when Ibrahim will there come round, Totsi Yakar Mizulal, Kfitiyab, Umrod Kilbar O, Chvizem Hashem Boreb, Yotzer Kamochin, Machnis Abasoyis Barach, believe, what? Believe Am Hashem, no, not Hashem, the Omer Ledov Kabo. As it says, basically, he says, look, everybody has a chelik in God. And it's a question of how much are we willing to open our... Oh, I'm sorry, believe in Hashem. No, believe in Hashem. You're right. I missed that last line because it's the last line in the previous thing. Believe in Hashem, not Am Hashem. The person needs to enter his heart with God. V'omer l'dav kabo, and so l'dav kabo, to cling to him, we've already said in a number of introductory words, shekol neshamos am Yisrael, heim ha'chatzav el'yon chelik Hashem, kikul n'dveikim Hashem. All of the souls of Am Yisrael, they are connected to God. As it says, v'atam ha'dveikim Hashem, you are connected to Hashem. Chayim kulchem ayom, you're all alive today. Mitzvos averos tisrachek nefesh. Through averos, a person's soul is distanced from God, from clinging to God. And when a person does return, a person is going to come back to cling to God. Okay, I mean, it's a perspective of what is our ideal, what is our goal in life, what is this connection to God that we're trying to create. And what's amazing about Parshas Ekev is that this is the heart and soul of Moshe's Musar Shmuz, because once you get into Re'eh, Shoftim, Kisetzei, what do you have? It's mitzvahs, 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 mitzvahs. Those are, you know, it's probably in those three parshas you have like the most mitzvahs in three parshas bundled together is Re'eh, Shoftim, Kisetzei. You know, I'm going out on a limb making that claim, but I think that's probably right. You probably have close to 200 mitzvahs in those three parshas alone. No, I'm sorry, there's 200 mitzvahs in the Book of Devarim. So maybe in those three parshas alone you have 150 of them. So, but Ekev Eschanan, really, it starts with Eschanan and Ekev. That's where you have Moshe just letting the people know, this is what your life is about, right? What's the parsha of this section right before? Right? I mean, love God. It starts with the Perek Vav in Eschanan. Perek Vav, Perek Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud. Yud Aleph, that is the heart and soul of what it means to live as a Jew. And this is what Moshe is telling the Bnei Israel. And so it behooves us. This is one of the reasons why the Book of Devarim is called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means review, 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 review. Review this part of the Torah over and over again to understand what it means to live as a Jew. And it's not just lip service. It's shmiras, amitzvahs, and it's safeguards, and it's gedarim, and it's fences that we put. And it's doing what we can to build up our emunah, and therefore our love for God. And if we can love God, how could we ever sin? I think it was the Kliyakar or the Ksav HaKabel a couple of years ago we saw, who said, when it comes to Lo Sachmod, how do you fulfill Lo Sachmod? What's Lo Sachmod? Lo Sachmod is coveting somebody else, somebody else's stuff, somebody else's life. He says, there's a very simple antidote to Lo Sachmod. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. That's it. He says, that's the answer. If you love God with all your heart, then how could you ever want somebody else's stuff? Your heart is filled, your cup runneth over with love for God. And that is, I think, the message of Parshas Ekev, but certainly the direction that Or HaChaim goes with much of this stuff, to remind us what our life is supposed to be about. And sometimes it's hard, but sometimes some people get it. And when they get it, they're the most incredible Jews you'll ever meet in your life. Okay.